Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The town of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, has been punching above its weight when it comes to music. Justin Vernon, who records as Bon Iver, has led the way, but we've also heard the band Megafon and Chris Porterfield, who records as Field Report. All of them were friends and bandmates for a while, and they all admired yet another Eau Claire musician named Josh Scott. But circumstance and health issues conspired to keep Scott off the music scene for years. Well, now he's back with his band, Arrow Flynn. Their self-titled album was produced by Justin Vernon and is full of compelling songwriting, like this opening number called Brand New. Here's Arrow Flynn, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is the band Aeroflin live in the Soundcheck studio with their song Brand New from the album also called Aeroflin. And believe it or not, just three people required to make all of that music live here in the studio. Josh Scott playing keyboards and doing the lead vocals. Adam Hurlburt playing bass, and he's got a keyboard handy as well and doing the sort of choral backing vocals. Dave Power behind our drum kit and playing his own electronic drum pads as well. And Josh, to you and the rest of the guys, thanks for joining us today.
How's it going?
Good. Why Aeroflin? And spelled the old-fashioned A-E way.
A-E way. I was kind of half-raised by my grandfather, who's a really huge cinema kind of buff back in the day, kind of the Michael Curtiz kind of era of movies. And Aeroflin was kind of a bonding moment between us every weekend and things like that, that we would spend and watch these things while all of my other friends were watching kind of Saturday morning cartoons. I was watching these old movies. And as I was kind of thinking about, you know, when I was starting to write and thinking about band names, if we really think about band names, we tend to shudder and just feel really awkward in the moment. And just the way it was kind of came up, my buddy just kind of said something once and it just kind of rolled off the tongue really well. And it looks good in print, and it means maybe something to me, you know, in a way.
I mean, it's one of the, as you're right, it looks good on the page, and it isn't until you say it out loud that you kind of get the joke. Oh,
yes.
I see.
Yeah. I was thinking about calling it In Like Flynn, but then I thought the connotation was a little weird.
Your fellow, your friend and fellow producer there from Eau Claire, Justin Vernon, same thing with Bon Iver, a kind of a play where it isn't until you say it out loud, and even then you need to understand French.
Exactly.
What was in the water in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, that has produced so many musicians out of, scale to the amount of people there?
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, I think there were a lot of, we were all almost the same age, and we all came to the university at the exact same moment.
Right.
And it was just something that I think we just, inspired each other to, to get better. And, I mean, we were just influencing each other like crazy. I was cleaning music, we were just mad about who was getting, who was listening to what in the moment. That's probably a thing for every scene in the market, though,
And it is often around a college.
Yes.
So you think of Austin, Texas,
totally.
Athens, Georgia,
There was a naive confidence that we had, I think, in Eau Claire, and specifically me, that thinking that, we could take over the world, but the world consisted of, two cities. And in that moment, I think we just projected so hard that it was, I don't know if there was, some kind of, a blind optimism for all of this stuff. But, I mean, this is we've pushed each other, and I don't know.
Well, but when you're a young musician, you need that naivete and that blind optimism. Otherwise, the daunting task that faces you to become a professional musician will keep. Now, the rest of the gang went out and they did it anyway. They kept that naivete and that optimism. You went to Chicago and kind of withdrew.
Yeah, I mean, I think it dissolved my amateur love band that we were doing something up in the Midwest there. But I thought, in the moment that I was going to be fine living in Chicago and I would start something, find the right musicians, the right personnel to just kind of keep what I was doing. I mean, I was pretty confident in myself in that moment. Like, I would just take over kind of a scene or whatever. And as that happened, it just kind of, I didn't quite find the right network. I always considered myself kind of an introverted type that could just do what he wanted. And it was kind of, but I realized that how much I needed that family. And I wasn't able to negotiate that in Chicago. I found some of the best friends of my life there, mm-hmm. but they were, not kind of in that musician family. And, I found you just kind of stumble onto a job, kind of a career kind of track thing. And before you know it, it's been a couple of years and you're not, I was still always writing. I opened for the Bond guys, a bunch, and Megafon a lot. And Megafon is essentially my backing band. It was the amateur love band. And I was inspired and I was so happy for these people. But in the moment, I just, I was kind of starting to shut down, and the longer it was taking me to actually record or share out, there started to be this kind of localalized myth to me, and in a weird kind of way, it was almost easier to embrace that,
mm.
And I was getting somewhat a little little mind depressed thing going on, and as it was going on, and it was just really easy to hide behind that well, what could have been potential. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the localized myth, which was, you know, he's in Chicago, he's depressed, and he's sick.
Yes.
You had an autoimmune disorder?
Yeah, pretty severe. Still kind of steroids. We didn't find it until, like, I had an eye thing that really debilitated me. I was doing some school kind of in that moment, too, and trying to figure out my life, figuring it out. I was always, you know, writing. But in that moment, I was, like, midway through a semester, and I got this really debilitating kind of sickness. We couldn't figure it out for months. And I had just talked to Justin about recording because I had started to do this thing. Mm-hmm. I finally, like, it reached this nexus of, like, I have to do something. And I wrote the first song on the record before all of this. And it just started to flood through. And after that, after the sickness, I had to get out of there. And when I got to the, you know, to the ranch up there, it was just
in Eau Claire.
Yeah. It was, I had no responsibilities in this moment.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, that some of that physical health is, you know, obviously I really believe is like in the mental part as well. Where, I mean, all of a sudden I was creating within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I could feel an ease to like the physicality, which is interesting.
So, I mean, a lot of autoimmune disorders, you know, they are mysterious. They're hard to diagnose. And then even once you've got a diagnosis, it's not often clear what the path is.
Yeah, there's still, I have a, yeah. A true, like, specialized kind of doctor I'm working with, sort of in the Wegener's kind of level of things. So, trying to figure out how
but
that
you're,
works.
You're obviously working and touring and out there. And,
yeah.
And the result is the album called Arrow Flynn from Josh Scott with Adam Hurlburt and Dave Power here in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do Twist next? All right, let's hear another live performance from the band. And this song called Twist comes from the album simply called Arrow Flynn.
Thank you.
That, again, is the band Arrow Flynn here in our soundcheck studio with a live performance of a song called Twist, which you'll find on their self-titled debut album, Arrow Flynn, with Josh Scott on guitar, keyboards, and vocals, Adam Hurlburt on bass and keyboard and vocals, Dave Power playing both our drums and electronic ones. So, Josh, Twist, the name of that song. There are a couple of songs, a number of songs on the record, that have these kind of long expanses of instrumental work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so that you can reel off a guitar solo. It's it's kind of about, it seems to be, you're concerned with texture, with audio texture.
Absolutely. A lot of my, I think, kind of influences kind of derived from those textural elements of music. I wanted space. I wanted ambience. People, you know, like Eno, or a lot of the krautrock kind of elements of music that I really, 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 you know, have really influenced me. But I mean, I think when I think of music, and I think of like a progression, or there are different ways of approaching that. I think like minimal classical 20th century stuff is I'm really into those patterns, those polyrhythms.
Philip Glass, Steve Reich.
For sure. Reich is, yeah, huge influence. Terry Riley is a very specific. These are people that I kind of tried to squash together, and they have such an ear for kind of that space. And, you know, this all, you know, I also listen to like mostly like electronic music as well. And there's always, when I try to think about it, I think about it as like a, even when I'm writing an acoustic song, I had, especially for this stuff in, coming up, is like I write in a really kinetic way. Like there's always some kind of energy happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a guy with a acoustic guitar, and it might be in that moment, but there's always some kind of rhythm happening with me, which is ironic because the last thing we did on the record were drums, and so somehow, which is a really weird way to do things.
Yeah, it is a weird way. So
yeah.
Usually, I mean, if you're doing track by track, that's often
for sure
the baseline.
Probably wouldn't do that again. Maybe I'm not sure. I don't know if it's wise or not.
Whose idea was that?
I think it was by default, kind of in the studio.
We didn't have a drummer.
We had no idea what we were doing. But yeah, I mean, everything was built in that way. And I think we just had all of us just had an ear, and I really wanted to create like this really like panoramic sound.
Right.
And
you were up north. I mean,
yeah.
We mentioned Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, co-produced the record with you. It was in his studio.
Yeah.
Are you a northern kid,
Yeah.
Were we born and raised?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I just went to school there, but I did like high school in Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that kind of expansive...
Absolutely.
Kind of cool. I mean, even the video for, is it DKPI?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, set out on the ice and stuff.
It's trying to embrace our...
Your upper Midwesternness.
Yeah. I thought there was something, you know, sexy and surreal about that. But
yeah. So you were out of music for a while, but you weren't. Let me rephrase that. You were out of the music world, the music scene, for a while. You were never out of music, right?
No, never. I mean, I was always, there was always something that was happening. I mean, in my little mini micro studio. It was always my first love. There had been something that had been, you know, I had removed from myself that I wasn't able to replace. And I tried different ways. And, you know, in the moment, sometimes you're not realizing what that ache is and what that moment was. And it was all you had to do was play music, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in a weird way, I mean, I'm not a spiritual person at all. But, I mean, I think there is a time and place for things to happen. And, I mean, I couldn't have made this record a few years ago. I mean, I wouldn't have been there in that moment. I mean, I wouldn't be, whether that's mental or physical, or whether the songs in themselves, like things just kind
well,
of formed out
I mean,
of me.
Mental and physical, I think we're pretty clear. The science is pretty clear that they're related.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got, your body is attacking itself.
For sure.
That's going to be a depressing thing.
But
the medication for the autoimmune disorder seems to be working.
Yeah.
You get yourself into the studio. What is that long delayed experience like? How was that to finally make this record?
It was incredible. It took to actually put something that we had made, you know, and we, you know, to something to like create a band again and to get that element to it. But I mean, to have people hear the record, whether it was just family, there was no doubt in my mind that if no one heard it, that it would be fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had been through years of not having anything. It was just like, what we created was something I was very, very proud of. And I honestly can say that.
Well, your friend Chris Porterfield on your website wrote that, you know, this record must be heard in the context of deferred health, deferred relationships, deferred dreams, deferred healing. You know, I like to skirt around that word healing, you know, because healing music has certain connotations.
Yeah.
But has this process been healing?
Absolutely. Right. Yes.
And where's home these days? Is it still Chicago?
I moved to Minneapolis to get this band rolling. So a lot of we have a really, really good group of people up there, as you probably know,
yeah,
and it's
yeah,
such a great music scene.
Well, so the band is out on tour. Aeroflin is the group. Aeroflin's the name of the record. Why don't we hear another song? You want to do Moonbeams?
Love to, yeah.
All right.
You got the Steinway.
Yes, we do, and you're welcome to use it. So Josh is going to head over to the piano. And once again, Adam Hurlburt joining in on bass and Dave Power behind the drum kit. The band is performing for us here live in the Soundcheck studio. The song is Moonbeams. Okay, so we've got a microphone that needs to be moved over to the piano because, of course, Josh intends to sing while he's there. I wonder how we missed that while we were setting up. All right. So the microphone being carefully placed by the man himself, we will now hear this live performance. Moonbeams is the name of the song. You're listening to Aeroflin, live here in the Soundcheck studio.
I can't feel the moonlight. can't feel the forest. I can't feel the moonlight. I can't feel the forest, Lord. I can't feel your horn is long.
It's a lovely song called Moonbeams. You'll find it on the album Aeroflynn by the band Aeroflynn, and they just played it for us live here on Soundcheck with Josh Scott at our piano and singing, Adam Hurlburt playing the bass, and Dave Power behind the drums. And Josh, this has been, it's been great hearing you and the band in this live setting. Must just be a great feeling to be out on the road. I know touring can be a love-hate thing, but you've waited a long time for this.
Absolutely. You know, in a weird way, you know, I've seen friends and peers and people get burned out and have that long time, because it is a hard road, but, you know, in a weird way, I'm fresh. I'm like, I'm an old man that's really fresh for the road. So I actually am really embracing this, and this is, we've had a good run this year, and we're to keep moving. But, I mean, yeah, I'm just kind of inching to keep going. So,
well, congratulations. I think it's a terrific record.
Thank you.
Aeroflynn is the band, also the name of the record. And guys, thank you for playing for
Cheers.
Us.
Can I feel you?
If you like Soundcheck, consider subscribing to our podcast. It's easy. Just find us in the iTunes store and click on Subscribe. We'll send you our latest interviews, in-studio performances, and more.